Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians 6. We're like 4 weeks away from finishing up the book of Ephesians, which even though we didn't start till January, for those of us that were in West Salem and coming from West Salem, we started this back in September, this series of walking through Ephesians. And we picked it up in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 over the last several months here, and we're getting so close to the end of it, but we're continuing through this book of Ephesians. And I have to tell you that I often find myself here on Sunday mornings, it's a challenge. I find myself wanting to revert back to my old youth group ways, like when I speak and how I would speak with the youth group. And see, my youth group days, I would always often start off by asking, now, how many of you remember what I talked about last week, you know? And I would kind of get volunteers and be like, remember what I talked about? You were here last week. Do you remember what I talked about last week? And there were a couple reasons for that. You know, first was wanting to engage, all right, the youth. And there was something about, even when I spoke in youth ministry, a lot of times I would ask questions and I would talk to them and we would interact and raise hands and have this kind of thing because it helps them engage a little better. But secondly, it was to find out who was actually listening, right? You know, when I'd ask and they'd be like, what did he talk about last week? I don't know. What did he talk? You know, going back and forth, you could tell who was really listening. And I learned that if kids knew I was going to ask that question, they would at least listen a little bit, or at least listen enough so they would have an idea and so that they could look good the next week. Say, oh yeah, you talked about this, Darren, you know. And so I sometimes want to go back that way when I speak and start engaging. And maybe, I don't know, maybe some of you would be okay. Some of you are sitting there going, what did he talk about last week? I don't even remember, you know. And some of you are like, I hope he's really not going to call on us because I don't want to be put on the spot right now. Don't worry, I'm not going to call on anyone this morning. But it is a struggle for me not to speak in that way that I did with the kids, and maybe sometimes I will, and we'll see as we move along here. But if you've been with us and you've been listening, you know that we have been in the middle of a series titled "Preparing for Battle." Preparing for battle, and we've been talking about the armor of God, and we've been talking about those different pieces of the armor of God that protect us from the enemy and from his schemes. And so far, we've talked about the belt of truth, and just the importance of knowing the truth, knowing God's word, and knowing what is truth, because if we know the truth, then it's harder for the enemy to deceive us and to get us to fall into his traps when we know his truth. And then last week was the second piece that we talked about, and we talked about the breastplate of righteousness and the importance of righteousness in our lives. You see, because when the enemy has nothing to hold against us, we can walk in freedom. When we walk in righteousness, you know, free from the things that the enemy enslaves us, it allows us to kind of walk with our head held high and not in shame, right? And so there's this power that comes from walking in righteousness, from experiencing his righteousness. It's not from us. We fail, we make mistakes, but in his righteousness, we can walk with a clear conscience, and the enemy has no control over us. Well, this morning we're going to take a look at the next piece of armor that Paul tells us we need to put on to protect ourselves against the enemy. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as we read out of Ephesians 6. And like I said, I'm going to sound like a broken record over the next several weeks as we're walking through the armor. I'm reading the exact same scriptures and then just pulling those pieces of armor out. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me here in verses 13 through 18. And it says this. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the saints. So the next piece of armor that Paul talks about here is that he tells us to put on is the shoes. OK, Okay? Verse 15 says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. As I studied this section and I studied this scripture and studying the gospel and what it means through there and studying the shoes that the soldiers wore, I realized that there are a lot of things that the shoes can do for us. And the Lord actually showed me as I studied this and prayed about this, He actually brought about four ways that the shoes of gospel help us in this spiritual battle that we face and how they enable us to experience His peace. So I got four things for you this morning that of how the shoes help us. Four P's, okay? That's why if you saw your title there, it was puh, 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 and it brings peace in the end, right? So four P's that I want to share with you this morning that will help us. The first thing is this. The first way that the shoes help us is they prepare us. They prepare us. You know, you don't have to do much studying or dig too far in the scriptures to see this one. It says, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Or actually the New King James Version actually says, your feet fitted with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your shoes can help prepare you. Many of you know I was in the Marine Corps, and when I was in boot camp, one of the things I hated the most was getting woken up in the morning, okay? The drill instructors loved to come in yelling, banging, you know, whatever they could bang that was loud and that would get you out of bed. And they would wake you up and be yelling out things to you, and they would begin to start yelling out how to get dressed. They would be yelling out orders to you. Get your socks on, get your socks on, you know, and you're jumping out of bed and you're half, you know, awake, half asleep, and so you're trying to get your shoes on or socks on, and before you can even get your socks on, they start yelling the next thing, you know, get your trousers on, get your trousers on. And before you even have one foot in your trousers, they're yelling, get your blouse on, get your blouse. And that's the part that actually buttons up, and you know, you're sitting there, and you know, you got all these buttons on this blouse, and you just started, and then they're like, get your shoes on, get your, and it's like, they don't stop. I mean, it's just one right after the other. And then they're like, get your shoes on and get out of my barracks right now, get, and they're yelling at you, and you're sitting here trying to get, and your shoes, and that's always the last thing, you've got your shoes on here, and you're trying to put your shoes on, and they're yelling at you to get out, but you can't because you're not ready, you don't have your shoes on. Now, you had two different types of boots in the military. You have the dress boots, which were speed laces, and that was nice. It was nice when we had a speed lace day, because at least with that, you kind of get it on, and you just grab the things and pull them, and it ties all the speed lace comes right up, tightens everything, and then you tie your shoe. But then you had your jungle boots, okay? And they had separate eyelets. And if you know, they come pretty far up your foot. So to get them off to begin with and to get them on, you have to like undo them over halfway. So here they're yelling at you, and you put these boots on, and you're down here, and you got to go right over left, left over right, right. You got to do this because otherwise you're going to be busted later if they look and go, you didn't do your shoes right, you know? And they're yelling at you. And you're sitting there, and you're not ready to go because you don't have your shoes on. Your shoes prepare you. They get you ready to go. I learned even later when I was in Okinawa and part of Recon Battalion, and I told you I was very fortunate. I never had to go into a battle situation, but we did a lot of mock missions and mock wars and mock things that we had to go out and do, and the enemy against you and different things, and when we were out there in the jungle or wherever you were at the time, I'm thinking of the Philippines in particular, out in the jungle, at night, we didn't take our shoes off. We just slept with our shoes on. Because if the enemy comes, if someone comes, if someone shows up and you got to take off, if you don't have your shoes on, you're not ready to go. You're not ready to move. And so we would sleep with our shoes on so that we were ready to go, that we could just take up our stuff and go. And this is a big thing in our house, the shoe issue. I struggle with it every morning before school. Our kids, you know, our house in Newburgh had more carpet. So our kids just got used to, they take their shoes off when they come in the house. Now our house here has got the laminate wood floors, you know. So it's not as big of a deal, but they still just do it. They take their shoes off when they come in and into the house. And so every time before, you know, we're getting ready to go in the morning, I'm just like, okay, let's get ready to go. We got to leave in just a few minutes. Make sure you're ready. Get your socks, get your shoes, get everything on. And I don't know how many times I'm like, all right, it's time to head out there. Let's go. And one of the kids will say, I'm not ready. And I'm like, why aren't you ready? And then you look down. It's like, because I don't have my shoes on. Get your shoes on so we can go. There's something about having your shoes that enable you to be able to go. Now, how does this relate to the gospel? How do we apply this to the gospel? Well, we are called. We already know our marching orders. We already know the orders that the Lord has given us, right? And our orders are to go. To go. We're called to go into the world with the gospel or the good news. Because if you didn't know what gospel means, it means good news. We are called and we need to be prepared to go and to share the good news. When we put on the gospel, when we have the gospel in our lives, then we are prepared and ready to go into the world to share His gospel. And when we put on the gospel, I think it can actually be an offensive weapon. Not offensive, an offensive weapon that we can use that prepares us to go and bring others back into His army. When we can go and share the gospel to bring others back to Him. I mean, what better way to combat the enemy than by bringing more people into the kingdom of God? What better way to combat the enemy than by stealing people from His army into our army? In essence, we're called to go out and perform rescue missions for the Lord, helping bring back people into relationship with Jesus Christ, and knowing the gospel, putting on the gospel, prepares us for that. It prepares us to go into all the world. So the shoes, they prepare us, they make us ready to go. And secondly, the thing that shoes do is the shoes protect us. In this time, the soldiers' shoes were often made of brass or metal, or at least on the bottom plate, they would have brass or metal that would actually protect them from traps or sticks or sharp objects that the enemy would actually put down to try to injure them or slow them down. And so these shoes with the metal or brass would actually protect them. So when they stepped, they wouldn't have stuff shooting up through their sandals, through their feet, and it would bring this protection. See, in these times, the average way the soldier got around was on foot, right? They didn't have Humvees. They didn't have tanks back then, all right? They may have had some chariots and horses or whatever, but the main soldiers got around on their feet. And so it was important that their feet were protected. And by having these things on their feet, it enabled them to march on with a peace of mind. Because they had these things on their feet, they didn't have to worry about looking down and watching where they stepped. They could focus ahead. And it protected them in that way, that they were able to be protected down below so they could have this peace of mind to march forward and to focus on their mission at hand. You see, when we put on the gospel, it reminds us of the protection that we have in Jesus Christ. He protects us. The good news is that accepting Him, accepting the gospel, brings His protection upon our lives. Every once in a while, when I tuck my little girl in bed, Emma, my little baby who's growing quickly to not be a baby anymore, but when I tuck her into bed every once in a while at night, she'll say, Daddy, I'm scared. Will you stay with me? Will you sleep with me tonight? You know, and every once in a while, I'll lay down there with her just because I can. And I know that I won't be able to do that very much longer. But for the most of the time, I can't lay down with her, and my response is this. I tell her, Emma, Mommy and Daddy are right in the next room. Mommy and Daddy are right here with you, and we will be here to protect you. This is the same promise that the Lord gives us. His gospel reminds us that He is there to protect us. He says He will never leave us or forsake us. And much like the soldier, as we know this and as we understand the gospel, it allows us to walk in peace, knowing that we have His protection, knowing that he's got our back. Because honestly, if you think about this, if we have God on our side, really, what do we have to worry about, right? Think about that. We have God on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us, right? Or, you know, really, you break it down. If God is for us, who cares who's against us, right? Because we have the Lord, and he's bigger than anything, greater than anything, because he created everything, and he can squash anything in an instant. God is our protection. When we put on the shoes prepare us and make us ready to go. They also protect us. The third thing that they do is this, is they plant us. They plant us. You see, the right kind of shoes can give us stability. Numerous times in these scriptures, Paul talks about standing, right? Just in the end of verse 13 alone, it says, stand your ground, and after you've done everything, stand, right? You see, our shoes help us dig in. They help us stand our ground. I remember several years ago, I was in boot camp right about this time, 21 years ago, probably learning these things. In Marine Corps combat training, we were taught to plant yourselves, to anchor yourselves when you're going against the enemy. Because if you're off balance, if you don't have a good anchored position, if you're not planted solidly, and you're off balance, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to get taken down. And there's something about having a good balance, having your feet firmly planted and being prepared. Your footing is extremely important. It helps you stay balanced against the opponent. So when we talk about putting on the shoes of the gospel, we're talking about a stability that comes from his word, being firmly planted in his gospel. You know, where are our feet planted? What are our feet planted in? What are we standing on? I use the word plant here because, one, it's a great word and it works great, but it makes it easier to remember when you use all P words, right? Prepare, protect, and plant. But another way you could say this is that your shoes give you a firm foundation, a solid footing, a solid foundation. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is our foundation? The good news is that Jesus is our foundation. We stand on him and on his word. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says this. It says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. You see, without the gospel, we're like the illustration that Jesus gives us in Matthew 7 of the foolish builder who built his house on the sand, right? When the attacks and the enemy comes and rage against us, instead of standing strong, we're going to be like that house on the sand and get crushed and knocked down. God wants us to be on a firm foundation so that when the storms, when the enemy comes and when the battle rages, we can stand strong in him. Paul knows the only way we'll experience victory, the only way we'll be able to stand strong in the midst of the battles, is if our feet are firmly planted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the cool thing is this, is that when we're planted in him and when he is our foundation, we can experience a peace like it talks about in Philippians 4:7, a peace that passes all understanding. That even in the battles, even in the storms, even in the difficulties and challenges of our life, we can stand firm and experience his peace. There's an old song, sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms the child. Meaning that he can bring peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the battle, we can stand firm and experience his peace in our lives. The shoes prepare us and make us ready to go. They protect us. They plant us firmly in him. And the fourth thing is this, is that our shoes help us persevere. They help us go the distance. You see, it's amazing what good shoes can actually do for your feet, especially if you have problems with your feet. My wife can attest to this. My wife is flat-footed, and throughout her life has struggled with walking long distances, struggled with being on her feet for long periods of time because her feet just begin to ache and begin to hurt. And she's like, I just need to sit down. I just need to get off my feet. Now, that is until a few years back when someone told her about these shoes called Fit Flops. Okay, they were actually flip-flops. The company, you know, started out by making flip-flops, thus the name Fit Flops. They now today make a variety of different shoes. But now that she has these shoes, now that she wears these flip-flops around, there's something support, there's this something in them that enable her to walk longer distances, that enable her to stand on her feet longer without the pain, without the discomfort that she felt. And the same thing holds true for our little girl, Emma. You know, our little girl, Emma, used to complain about walking. My feet are getting tired. And I'm thinking, come on, you're a kid, you know, let's go. And Stacy was like, you know what, maybe she has the same problem I had. And so Stacy bought her a pair of flip-flops. And now she can go and she doesn't complain when we go for walks because there's something about these feet that help her and Stacy to persevere longer because of the stability that they bring to her. Now that they both have these shoes, they can walk longer distance. And you see, if you know anything about the military and the soldiers in the military, you know that they can be on their feet for hours and hours hiking and treading through this and through that. And so it's important that they have good quality boots that will help them persevere and will help them be able to go the distance. Because sometimes battles can be won simply because you were able to persevere and outlast your opponent. Perseverance is important in physical battle, and the same holds true for us in the spiritual battle. You see, just being able to persevere is half the battle. If just being able to push on and to press through is half the battle. This is why it's so important for us to put on the gospel, because the good news reminds us that we are victorious in Christ Jesus, that he has already won the victory. Knowing the gospel, what that does is it brings hope to our lives. And just knowing that there is hope gives us the reason to press on and to persevere. You see, the good news is Jesus won the victory, and someday he's coming back. And we're all going to experience a life without hurts, a life without pains, a glorious life with him in heaven. The spiritual war someday will finally be over. And just knowing this fact, just knowing the hope that we have in Jesus Christ should help us persevere. You see, I found that there's something powerful about knowing that the end is in sight. Many times in my life, I've had these kind of experiences where when I know the end is in sight, it helps me to push through and to persevere. You know, another one of the great examples is boot camp. You know, going back to boot camp, I remember the minute I walked out of the airport doors. And here's the thing. There were about 6 to 8 of us. I'm trying to remember. There were 6 to 8 of us from the Portland area that were all on a plane together going to start boot camp together at MCRD San Diego. And so we flew on a plane into San Diego, and you know, we're pretty cool on this airplane, you know, and we're going to be Marines. Yeah, we're on our way to boot camp, you know, and acting all cool. And we come into the airport, same thing, we're thinking cool, because we know once we get on that base, things are going to change, and we know that, and we don't realize how much at the time, but we know it's going to change. But we thought, you know, at least until we get there, we're all right. Walk out the doors of the airport, and I see there a couple of drill instructors and all these other 18, 19-year-old guys lined up, sitting like, I mean, you can't sit any closer than they're sitting with their stuff, with these faces and looks on their face like they just, you know, something horrible just happened to them. And I'm like, wow, what's going on with them? And then all of a sudden the drill instructor, you guys here for boot camp? Yes. You mean yes, sir? Yes, sir, you know? And they're like, get, and he's, you know, shouting to us to sit down, tie it up, don't say a word, you know, grab yourself. And he told us how to sit. We all sat a certain way, and it's like, and it began at that moment. And at that moment, I'm just like, what did I do? You know? And so, and then we get on the bus, you know, And they tell us, you don't talk to anyone, you don't say anything. And I'm afraid, a few people were kind of whispering on the bus. I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm afraid someone's going to pop out of somewhere and slap me across the head or something, you know. And so we go on the bus, and I'm quiet, and I'm just like driving over there. I'm just like, I'm on my way to prison. I'm on my way to prison. What am I doing here? And I remember, so we stopped there, and then it doesn't stop, you know. This drill instructor, this big guy, gets up on the bus, and he starts shouting at him. He's like, from now on, the first words out of your mouth will be, sir. The last words out of your mouth will be, sir. Do you understand that? Sir, yes, sir. What did you say? Sir, yes. I can't hear you. You know, it's like, sir, yes, sir. And then he goes on thinking, when you get off this bus, there's yellow footprints. You're going to stand on those yellow footprints, and you're going to stand at attention. You're not going to speak until you're spoken to. Do you understand? Sir, get off my bus. And it's just like, where I come out, and I'm standing on those footprints, and I am literally like, what did I do? Mommy, please help me. And it didn't stop. It was just one thing after the other. And we're sitting there, and I'm just literally like, what did I do? But here's the thing. Now, the Marine Corps boot camp is 90 days, longest boot camp of any of the militaries. And at that time, I'm thinking, oh, man, if I would have gone in the Air Force, I would have only been 6 weeks. If I would have gone, you know, all these thoughts are going through my head. But I'm thinking, okay, 3 months, I can do this. I can do this. It's just 3 months. So in our Marine Corps field manuals, which you took around with you everywhere, had all sorts of information in there. I had to write notes everywhere, everything you did. I had some pages in the back. And in the back, I did it. I wrote my calendar with all the days, and I began to put the X through it. And there was something about every day seeing that and putting an X and realizing I was just another day closer to being out of boot camp, to finally being a Marine. And there was something about that, that in those days when I was just discouraged, I would just look at that calendar and think, okay, 4 weeks left, you know, whatever it was, 6 weeks, that's all I got, 4 weeks, 3 weeks, and it gave me a hope, and it gave me this ability to persevere and to press through, because I knew that there was an end at sight, and I knew that eventually I would graduate, and eventually I would be a Marine. Hope helps us persevere and push through the difficult times, when we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, when we can see that God is there, that he's there to protect us. He's our strength. It helps us push through when we realize that we can experience that peace in him. It helps us push through. Because not only does the gospel promise that someday the war will be over, but as I shared, it promises us God's peace in the midst of the war, in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the battles and the challenges. God's given us the gospel, the shoes to prepare us. He's given them to protect us. He's given them to plant us and to help us to persevere so that in the end we can go the distance, that we can come out on the other side victorious with him. And his desire is that we go and bring others with us, that we would go into all the world and to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with others so that they can experience the things that we're experiencing, so that when they're going through battles, they have someone that they can be planted in, that they can have someone that will comfort them and help them through those difficult times. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what God's called us to put on the gospel, and he's called us to take the gospel to others. God's desire, you know, I thought about this and struggled. God's desire is that we can be all that you can be, right? It's a military thing. And I didn't use the Marine Corps one because part of I'm like, that's Army, be all that you can be. But here's the Marine Corps, the few, the proud, the Marines, which is true. They're one of the smallest, you know, military outfits, which really, if you didn't know, they're a department of the Navy. I hate to say that, but it's true. One of the smaller outfits, they're the few, the proud, the Marines. But here's the thing. I don't want us to be the few. I want us to be the many. I think God's called us into Dallas to be many, to grow and to take the gospel to all people, to be all that we can be so that God's kingdom can be extended. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the armor that you give us. We thank you for the gospel, the good news of who you are and all that that brings to our life. Lord, the gospel brings so much. But Lord, as we talk about the shoes and the soldier, you know, these four things of the fact that the gospel prepares us, the gospel protects us, the gospel plants us in a firm foundation, and the gospel allows us to persevere, Lord Jesus. We want to be people that experience these things in our life as we put on your gospel, as we wear this every day, Lord, as we go into all the world, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. I pray that you allow this word to speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. Each of us are, again, in different places in our walk with you. And each of us need those different spots to encourage us, to strengthen us, so we can persevere, so we can press on, Lord Jesus. Help us today, Lord. If there's anyone in this room today that maybe was discouraged, that has felt like, man, I'm just ready to quit and give up. We've all been in that place before at times in our life, Lord. But I pray for a special encouragement right now, that you would give them that hope to know that, Lord, there is light at the end of the tunnel, that there is hope ahead as we continue to press in and persevere for you, to seek you, Lord Jesus. For those that, Lord, have maybe felt like they're not ready, that they're not prepared to take your gospel, Lord, I pray that you would prepare them. Lord, it's simply just knowing you. It's simply just introducing others to the God that we know. Help us to be prepared, Lord, and ready to do that to others, Lord. For those that feel like they aren't protected, Lord, help them to be reminded the fact that, Lord, you are our protection, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that in those difficult times you wrap your arms around us and you cover us with your love, Lord Jesus. We thank you for these things, Lord, that you're doing in our lives. Pray that you would continue to meet each of us where we're at. Help each of us to grow in you in all that we do, so that, Lord, your kingdom can be extended in this community and the surrounding communities, Lord. We thank you for these words. May they speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.